Welcome to the Stuff Belle Says podcast, where we talk about life lessons, light bulb moments on the trail, and daily adventures.
Welcome back to the Stuff Belle Says podcast. Today, we are experiencing some fires in our national forests. So as I record this right now, as of yesterday, they closed down 18 more national forests in California due to the fires. And some of these locations don't actually have the fire going on, but because of safety and just trying to conserve some resources, they just closed down these areas. And it's really sad right now. People are not able to go out and do things like that on top of everything else that's going on in our country, in our nation, in the world right now. This 2020 has not given us any type of break at all. And so I hope that you guys are staying safe. And while you guys are home and maybe doing work in between, that you would catch up on things, you know, podcasts, call a friend, you know, talk to someone on Zoom, you know, and things like that, because things are just still weird right now. A lot of things that are happening in our world are not exactly what we hoped for entering a new decade to be. However, this is a great time for us to be preparing for our next adventure. Do a lot of reading, do a lot of research, you know, watch videos that inspire you. At least for me, that's what I do when I'm home. And, you know, especially in the beginning of quarantine, I started diving into some YouTube videos that just talks about various things that I can do better when it comes to hiking, when it does come a time that I can do that again, which, you know, we had a window of time that we did, such as hiking the High Sierra Trail. But during times of downtime, I was just able to watch, read, all that kind of stuff. And hey, the more we do that, the more you're going to be prepared for your next trip. So even in this weird time that we are in right now, we can still do something. That's a lesson in itself, right? I mean, we never have idle time. Not necessarily to mean that you are not resting or not giving yourself some time to recover and things like that, but it's more of being productive still, even in the midst of all the things that are going on around us. So don't forget, again, subscribe, rate, and review so others can see this and benefit from this podcast. We are still in a four-part series of the High Sierra Trail. I did two parts, two episodes of the Q&A, and I'll finish that off today. We're going to talk about gear and food, lessons learned, and some perspectives from our hiking buddies that went with me to the High Sierra Trail down the line. So if you haven't yet, follow us on Instagram at StuffBellSays.com. StuffBellSays.com. We actually don't have a website right now, but stay tuned because we will, and it's going to be StuffBellSays.com. As of right now, it's not there, but I don't know why I added .com. I'm so used to saying that. But at StuffBellSays on Instagram, not .com. Eventually, it will be .com. So thank you guys. I hope this helps you. This podcast is meant for us to have conversations about lessons on the trails, daily adventures, light bulb moments, all kinds of stuff. I feel like it's one of those things, a skill set that we need to have to see wisdom in every single experience that we have. Because otherwise, it's a waste of time, right? It's a waste of experience if we learn nothing with it from it, and even in the future, something that we can use so we won't repeat stuff that are not helpful or productive, and that we would also improve on what we have now, not necessarily to be perfectionist to the point that it becomes a burden to us, but that it would be something that we can just grow into and become better people. So that's what this is all about. Anyway, let's get into the Q&A that I didn't finish last time. Here is the last question where it talked about hiking. Where everything is hiking, right? So the question is, how did you get started getting into hikes like these? This question is in context with the recent High Sierra Trail through hike. And so how did I get into hikes like the High Sierra Trail? Well, to start off, I did not, obviously there is a beginning to something. So over the past years, I've been hiking locally just for workout purposes. Every Wednesday, I would go out to the same trail in Port Orange, California called Limekin Canyon. And we would do this like 3-ish miles out and back hike with a couple of friends every single Wednesday, you know, and it went on for maybe at least a year or so. And one of my friends had to move out of the country and move back to the Philippines, in fact. So I stopped hiking for a while just because I didn't have any more buddies at that moment. And one of our church family friends was off work at that time. And I said, you know what, let's go hiking, let's go do something. And so I started going back to the old trails again, and then eventually branching out to other trails. I used this app called All Trails. And from there, I just started exploring locally things that I did not know even existed at that time. And these are all maybe within 15 to 30 minute drive from where we live in San Fernando Valley. And so I was doing that for a while. And then she got a job. And from there, I did not hike again for a while. We still tried to do stuff here and there, but it became like a little lull moment until I had a reacquaintance with a college friend. We had a college reunion dinner and we got to talking, and I was talking about hikes, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And she has a hiking background. She grew up hiking up in the Sierras. And so from there, I said, hey, let's go on a quick hike. We went once. And from that point on, boom, we just like became not only just college buddies, college friends. We went to music school together and played a lot of music. Hence, we did not really talk about hiking back in college. I was very inactive in college. In fact, I did not do any exercises that are outdoors related. In fact, I did not even like camping back then, which is interesting because now I do so much camping that it kind of is making up from all the times I lost back then, I would say. So anyway, we started hiking local mountains, and she took me places. She knows all these areas, and I read a lot about the Six Pack of Peaks at that time. This is back in 2016. And from that point on, you know, I had my first backpacking experience, not with my college friend, but with a couple of my childhood buddies. We have our annual, now we call our annual Single Ladies annual hike with my friends Nell and Sharon. Sharon was the one who went with me to High Sierra a month ago. And so we started doing that. 2016 was a groundbreaking year for my hiking career. If you were to say, it's not even a career, it's just a hobby. So 2017, you know, Kira and I did Half Dome along with Sharon. In fact, we conquered it. It was great. We did a lot of hikes locally, you know, nearby. We have Mount Baldy. We have Cucamonga. We have Mount Baden-Powell. Great, great mountains that are here locally in the area. High elevation peaks that, you know, they are not easy peaks. These are great training peaks for bigger mountains out in the Sierras and doing some 14ers in the near future. So I thought that that was such a great time, and I knew nothing about all these stuff. So I'm learning, you know, I was just learning. 2018, we did our first attempt for Whitney. That was Sharon and I. And of course, for those of you guys who heard the previous episodes, we did get sick on the mountain. So we had to turn around. 2019, last year, we did our first summit of Whitney. I was with a group of four. And 2020, we did our first through hike, the High Sierra Trail. And that was such a great experience. Every time I look back and look at the photos and videos that we took, I'm just like, man, I just wish I could go back there right now. But you know what? Life goes on. And here we are recording a podcast. So how did I get into that? You know, from doing Limekin Canyon 3 miles every single Wednesday to all of a sudden hiking the High Sierra Trail and hopefully doing a little bit more in the future. There's a lot of information out there that I just kind of devoured. Knowledge is power. I read a lot about it. I just went out and risked it. Do that 10 times and see if it's easy. So I educated myself and asked a lot of questions. Lesson would be, if you really want it, it's good for you. Hiking is great for you, great for mental health. You will make it happen. And so with that, man, I am just glad that now I have this personally, a rhythm of rest and play that I did not used to have before. Because all I did before was, even though they're good, work, you know, just do all that and really not have time to enjoy. And the moment that this came, I even remember sometimes that, you know, just to go out on a hike, I would feel bad just because I didn't get certain things done. But sometimes I just have to not think about those things. And I had an experience, I would say back maybe 2017 was when, wow, we did a whole lot of hikes that I spent a lot of times in the mountain, a lot of time in the mountains, processing on a few things and just experiences in life that required for me to be in my thoughts and be one with God at that moment, you know, and just thinking about processing and thinking about various stuff that I was going through at that time. And I felt like hiking has become an avenue for me to have these processing moments, you know, and I think that this is what I really enjoy the most with that. And doing outdoor stuff has really opened up a lot of new relationships for me. I've had few of the best conversations on the trails, and as we walk for hours, it's super refreshing to have people listen, you know, or even just one person listen, and we both listen to each other or whoever is there at that moment. We just experience life together, you know, and it's just so great. So that's why now I'm hooked in a very healthy way, and I think there is something aligned that as people in general, when it comes to hobbies and even good hobbies like hiking or climbing, which I also got into towards the end of 2016, I met some really awesome people. My friend Chris was the one who introduced me to it. Chris, if you're listening to this at some point, congratulations, he's getting married next month. But it's been great, and climbing has been another avenue to relieve stress just because it's a different kind of sport. Literally gets my mind off of work immediately the moment I have to focus on where I have to put my feet, my hands, and not worry about all these other stuff. Anyway, great, great activity to really just relieve some things off of your mind. And yeah, it's refreshing to have it. So what I was saying is that there is a borderline when it comes to hobbies where our hobbies became, quote, an idol or a god, to the point that we spend more time on those things because we seek this refreshment or this fulfillment or this satisfaction in those hikes. I think that's great. There is something about that, but there is a line that we could cross that it becomes beyond more than what they are supposed to be. And I'll get into that a little bit more later. I think I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'm just supposed to answer this question. I don't know why I'm getting so preachy right now, but really on the lesson part of it is that yes, there is a refreshing aspect to it, and moving forward, acknowledging the fact that yes, these hikes and these outdoor activities give you satisfaction and fulfillment in a certain degree. But me personally, I do not think that they are the ones that would satisfy you completely, because at the point such as right now where we can't go out and hike, what are you going to do? A lot of people are going crazy. I can't go anywhere. I can't go hiking. If we are just looking into these places to provide our fulfillment, I think at some point it will fail us. It will fail us. And so this is the reason why I think that we need to look beyond the things that are just out here and see those things as tools in which for us to go beyond the insatiable need of man and for us to see beyond that. And I think it's a more spiritual experience than it would be just a random sport or activity. And for me, as someone who believes in God, that is really what I thank God for when it comes to these activities that have drawn me closer to my relationship with Him. And because of that, I look into those refreshing times with Him in the mountains, because that's where I feel pretty close to Him at that moment, where there's no distractions or any noises or anything of that sort that are something we find in the city. And so going back, there is that line where we become so attached to it to the point that we make them, the mountains or activities or climbing or whatever, becomes the very thing that gives us satisfaction. While there is a degree to that, I personally don't think it's the ultimate, because I think all these things are going to go away, but yet there is still that need that needs fulfillment. And I believe, at least for me, that is something that only God can really fulfill. So you can talk to me about that later. hit me up on Instagram and we can talk. So let's get into the other question, and it's asking, what are your bucket list hikes? Okay, that's an easy one, although I know it could be long. Locally and maybe in the near future, and I say in the next month or so, doing an overnight to San Jacinto. I actually have not been there, and you know, it's something that people really like to go to. And since it's like a 3-hour drive for me, it's not something that I would just go whenever, you know, it takes a little bit of planning. So hopefully we get to do our annual single ladies backpacking trip there at some point in the near future, such as like October, because right now I don't know if we can even go there right now. Everything's closed. Another thing is I would like to conquer Big Iron Mountain. I think it's one of the iconic hikes in the Los Angeles area that has a gain of 6,000 feet, I believe. And I hear it is brutal, it is hard. And I think, you know, it's kind of like those did you die moments, but we will see what happens. We'll see. We're going to attempt, as we always say, we're going to attempt Big Iron Mountain sometime in the near future. I also would like to do a couple more 14ers in California, Langley being one of them. I also would like to do Shasta at some point, but because that is a mountaineering type of route, it's not something that I can just say, hey, let's go. It is a 9-hour drive too. So it's also something that requires a little bit of planning. I want to do Big Pine Lakes. I see a lot of photos with it and I see all the lakes. It looks so pretty. I just don't know if I can go this year, you know, because by the time the fires are over, it's going to be November, December, and there goes the snow. So maybe something to look forward to next year. Another thing, long-term wise, you know, I would like to do the John Muir Trail. I know that's a 210 mile trek through hike. I don't know what I'm saying here. JMT, the John Muir Trail is 210 miles. It starts from Yosemite Valley all the way to Mount Whitney, which is basically where the High Sierra ends too. They meet actually at some point. So I would like to do that. That would be great. It's 3 weeks. Or maybe you can go a little less if you're quick, but for a pace like mine, I would say I'm going to do 3 weeks and just enjoy it. But we'll see, because that's also going to require more planning. I would like to do in the long term, do sections of the Pacific Crest Trail. Not sure if I can ever get 6 months to hike that entire thing from Mexico to Canada, but that would be amazing. But sections of it would be great. I would like to do outside the country stuff like Patagonia, something in Canada, and even some mountains in the Philippines that I would really love to see, you know, what it's like to be hiking out in the tropics. It's completely different. But temporarily right now, and I say temporarily, but really more permanently, I have fallen in love with through hiking. And there is an aspect of it where there is a daily process on the day-to-day aspect of through hiking, of hiking a through hike type of route compared to like peak bagging a day hike. Day hiking a peak, you know, that's what I meant to say. But all are good, you know. Peak bagging is something that you do as a day hike to prepare for the through hiking experiences. I just enjoy through hiking right now. I mean, after the High Sierra Trail, there's just something about it. Being out there for 8 days, you know, and even shorter, it's just something. Your brain changes to this different mode, you know, being out there for such a long time. So anyway, those are the last couple of questions that I did not get to do. So let's get into some gear, okay? Gear stuff that I have used on the High Sierra Trail, and including these are stuff that I've used over the past few years already. And so some of them I'll go in detail and some I'll just kind of brush through and give you an idea. And I'll put all of these things on the show notes. That way you guys see what I'm talking about here in case I mispronounce certain gear names and brands and all that kind of stuff. So let's get started. So the backpack I use to get this gear list started is the Osprey Kite 46 liter. And yeah, you might think, oh, it's 46 liters. And yes, it was small. However, this is my new principle. The smaller the space, the less I bring, and only bring the essentials. And because of that, I am now going to use this backpack for either a 1 week hike or to an overnight hike, just because it's just the right amount of space. And since I'm small, I'm only 5'1", and you know, I'm petite, I can't do anything bigger than that, because the last time I did a backpacking trip, when we did Whitney the first time, I have this great 65 liter, the North Face Terra. It's called Terra 65. It's great. I love it. It's a unisex backpack. However, it didn't fit my body well, and so I was in pain for the most part, which is really important. If you're planning to buy a backpack for backpacking gear, it's important for you to test it out and to get fitted. REI typically does that. I don't know if, I think they're doing that right now, even during COVID season, but you can go and get fitted. That is very important because every single body is different. So Osprey Kite, oh gosh, I told you I was going to mispronounce some of these words. Osprey Kite 46 liter was the backpack I used. Tent wise, I used the REI Passage 1 tent. It's not the lightest, but it was inexpensive during the sale, so I sacrificed on weight. I believe it's about like 3 pounds, you know, and it worked well. It's a freestanding tent. I bring steaks and all that. I told you it's not the lightest. I had to repackage this, you know, basically not repackage, but repack it a certain way just so it fits what I need. And that's a thing that I learned with backpacking. It doesn't always have to be traveled with in the way they came in the mail or in the way you got it. You can learn to repackage things, reorganize certain things. Like I put the steaks inside my backpack, and for the 46 liter bag that I have, I needed to have the tent out, because if you are out in the Sierras, you need a bear canister, which I have to put inside my backpack. So there was no room for my tent. Now, on places where I don't need to have a bear canister, typically I put all my stuff inside the backpack, so there's nothing hanging around. But on times like that, I did have to repack it and just put it outside. I got this little thing that I bag on Amazon, the stuff sack on Amazon, and just kind of put it there, and it all fits. So REI Passage 1 tent, freestanding tent, it's great. Get it. It's awesome. And if you are the type of person who want to go lighter, I would say there's a lot more options out there. If you want to spend a little bit more money, definitely something. But this is what I used, and it was fine. It survived the hailstorm in the Sierras, and it was great. So I highly recommend this if you are on a tight budget. This is a good tent. The next thing is I used, this is my newest purchase, I would say. I froze 2 times already, one on San Gorgonio and one at trail camp last year. It went below freezing, and I could not sleep with my 20 degree bag. And that was synthetic. So I bought the Outdoor Vitals Summit Series Stormloft Down Sleeping Bag. Goodness gracious, that is long. But yes, it's this company in Utah that I'll be honest, I wasn't very sure. But because of the specs that it had, it's a down sleeping bag. It's 0 degrees. And because I was going to bring a liner, I have a Sea to Summit liner that would... You know, the liner is like a blanket that goes inside your sleeping bag, and it usually brings down the temperature rating, whatever your bag is. It at least can give another 10 degrees. So I was going to bring that, but it's an extra pound. So when it got the 0 degree bag, I was thinking, looked at the weather, you know, I think it's going to be fine. So I did not bring the liner anymore. This is super lightweight for the bag itself. I believe it only weighed like 2 pounds, which is awesome. And I bought a compression sack that I can make it go smaller, and it fit in my 46 liter. So this was an awesome purchase. I know it's a lot. It's about a little bit over $200. And I gotta say, it's not a little bit over, actually. It's close to $300. However, it is going to last me a very long time. So I like this bag a lot. I used it slightly like a quilt, you know, where I flipped it over and made it more like a blanket during warm nights. And also I flipped it on the other side when it became really cold, so I was able to bundle up myself. And so because I'm such a cold sleeper, even if like, if it's, you know, I don't know, 40, 50 degrees out, I still like to have a little bit of something on top of me. So I like to have a blanket. I sweated a few times though, because it was pretty warm. I was really, really toasty in there, and it's 0 degrees. So definitely can take it for winter backpacking if I want to. So that's the Outdoor Vitals Summit Series Stormloft Down Sleeping Bag. It's great. Go to their website. It's pretty awesome. And it's great for the kind of quality it is. It's great price. So the next thing is, talk about the backpack, the tent, the sleeping bag, and now my insulated air sleeping mattress called the REI Co-op Stratus Insulated Air Sleeping Bag. I got it on sale. I'm big on sale. So like the Labor Day sale they just had recently, yes, I did get something because I needed to replace a few things. And yeah, so anyway, this is my sleeping bag, a sleeping air mattress. It's a sleeping pad. I'm a side sleeper, so I like this pad because it has an R value of 3.3, which is great because the higher the number, the warmer it is. And so it takes about 20 to 30 big breaths. You know, I learned how to breathe properly in music school as a vocalist, so that was a great skill to have. So yeah, it's such a great pad. It weighs about a pound and it packs really small. I did redo the packing on this one. I did not bring the bag, I did not roll it up, but I folded it up at the bottom instead, and it fit really well. It made for extra room for other things. So that is the REI Co-op Stratus Insulated Air Sleeping Bag. Now when it comes to kitchen stuff, I have my Jetboil Flash Java. This actually comes with a French press inside, but since I don't carry that stuff on backpacking trips, I did not use that. So it's on the heavy side. It cooks really fast. I would say less than 5 minutes. It's an older stove. I've had it for a few years, and there are some newer ones that I would say might be lighter. I'm considering to transition in those for less weight. However, I like my food fast, especially after a long, hard day. So I'll sacrifice on weight. It can do up to 2 cups of water. And from there, I've cooked many, many things. And I really like this compact, it's actually not super compact, but for the way it is worth it. It's a Jetboil Flash Java. I also have, for my bear canister, I use the Bear Vault BV450, which is a food container that holds up to 425 days of food, not 45. I don't know why I say that all the time. So if it's empty, it's 2.1 pounds. If it's empty, but now you add more stuff to it, it becomes heavy. So this is the smaller of the two. They have, I believe, the BV500, which is the bigger one. This is the 450, and I chose this small one even on the 8-day trip that we had recently, because I know that there were bear boxes out there where I can just take out what I needed for the day, and whatever I don't, I put it in the bear box, and the rest in my bear canister. And if I had a bigger one, it would not fit, which I tried. It wouldn't fit in my 46 liter bag. So this is why I chose this. And I think you can get away with it. It really teaches you to pack right, pack well, and pack in the most efficient way. So I really like the small stuff. So this one, the Bear Vault BV450 food container, and it's great. It holds up to 5 days of food or more, depending how you package your stuff, which I'll talk more later on the food episode. As far as utensils, I just have one thing. I had the Snowpeak Titanium Spork. It works really well. It weighs almost nothing. And what I like about this is that it doesn't smell. So you wash it, and sometimes I'll eat tuna with it, you know, and I don't have time to wash, or there's no water around. It'll just stay in the Ziploc for a while. And when I wash it, it's fine. There's no extra smell, as compared to when you have like a plastic fork or spork or spoon or whatever, spork, whatever it is, it does not leave that weird smell. So it's great. Snow Peak Titanium Spork works really well. I use a trowel, the Tent Lab, the Deuce, number two, ultralight backcountry trowel, not towel. I did bring a towel, but this is a trowel. We used it to dig. It was great. It weighs like practically nothing. As for my bladder, I have the Camelback 2 liter. It's really all you need in places where there is a lot of water sources. This was enough. And I know some people just like to use the water bottles. I did have a smart water bottle that I reused over and over. I just had one and I used it for either bidet purposes, drinking and cooking. I know that sounds gross for some of you guys, but because I had the Camelback, I had something that would go directly into my mouth. The smart water is really more for, you know, carrying things over and over to, you know, filter or make food, you know, and not have to take it out of my bladder. So having something like that was super, super helpful. And having this, the spout that you can get, I forgot what it's called, but it's one of those things. It's not the regular screw cap, but it's more of, it's a screw cap that has the drinking spout to it. So get that. It's really helpful. It helps with all kinds of stuff. If I want to put my noon tablets in there, it really makes it easy. So I had the smart water bottle. Okay, sit pad. I don't know the name of my sit pad because I found it on the trail somewhere here in LA. So I used it when I sleep, when my sleeping pad is not yet set up. I use it to sit, you know, if we were to go somewhere. It's just this like accordion looking sit pad. You know, they have this like Therm-a-Rest has it for like $15 or something. But this one's one of those cheap looking ones, but it weighs practically nothing too. So I brought that, which was great. I don't know what it's called, but it's just a nice thing to have while you're setting up. You're not like sitting on something hard or sitting, you know, kneeling on something. Like when I'm trying to set up stuff inside my tent, I'm kneeling inside my tent and trying to grab stuff here and there. And so this was, I am so glad I brought this because it just made things easier. Even as we stopped for lunch or something like that, I would pull it and sit on it, and it's just nice to have something cushiony after such a long, hard day. And so this is something that requires no setup. Pull it out, put it down, sit on it. That was great. Okay, so footwear and clothing. I recently have switched to trail runners now. I am completely done with boots, hiking boots. Not because I didn't like them, it's just too heavy for me. I will still wear hiking boots though for snow hikes because it would require a little bit more support, and you know, having the crampons or the micro spikes in there would be nice to have that. And at the same time, the waterproofing is there, so I still have my boots. However, what I used up there on the High Sierra Trail is the Hoka One One, as they say, Hoka One One Speed Goat 4. And because I have wide feet now, somehow my feet got wide from hiking so much. I loved it. It will be something that I will use all the time. This is my newest gear. It has great grip. I've used Hokas for, you know, running on like street running or road running. I did buy a trail runner, the Challenger ATR 5, which is also great. That was my first like trail runners that's wide and really awesome, super lightweight. I would say it's even lighter than the Speed Goats. However, as I was using it, they just wear out so fast, which is the only downside of trail runners. They wear out so quickly. So I had to buy shoes a week before the High Sierra Trail, and I was kind of nervous. So I said, all right, there's no more time to waste. I have to buy this because the other one's wearing out. I can't bring that for another, I don't know, 72 miles and not have any grip by the time I get to Whitney, which I need some grip up there because, you know, granite and all that kind of stuff. So I said, I got to buy this new one. Went to the store, got the Speed Goats, and broke it in on Mount Baden-Powell just a week before the High Sierra. And it worked out great. Did not require a lot of time to break in. Really, really fast. And it's a little bit heavier on the heavier side compared to the Challenger ATRs. But the Speed Goat 4 is very, has really good grip. It has Vibram soles, very good support. And yeah, I mean, their whole thing is like, what is it? Like get ready to fly or something like that. And I'm going to say, yes, I felt like I was flying compared to wearing boots that are heavier on my feet. So yeah, I trained a lot with the ATRs, but as far as like the durability of it, it's just not as great as I wanted it to be. There's a little wear and tear now on my Hoka One One Speed Goats, but it will last probably, I would say, another 100 or 200 miles. So I'm still pretty good on that one. I really love it. As far as socks, I just use the Adidas running socks. They're thin Adidas running socks, which is funny because it made holes like towards the end of the trip. It's not that great and durable, but it worked for that time. I also had a Smart Wool, like a mid calf type, not mid calf, but like somewhere, not calf, oh my gosh, ankle socks. And they're Smart Wools. It was great for the nighttime to sleep with, nice and warm. I also had extra athletic socks for good measure, you know, in case my other one doesn't dry up, which it happened anyway on day six. So that was great to have. Clothing wise, I like to wear pants. I know some people like to wear shorts. I did bring shorts, but I did not wear shorts while hiking. I have the Eddie Bauer First Ascent pants. They're great. They're moisture wicking. It's fast, you know, even on coldest day. We had, like, I got wet in the rain and it dried the next day. Even though it was so cold, it was dry. So that was great. I like wearing pants because when you go to certain areas that might scratch your leg, I'd rather have my legs safe, you know, from all these scratches, because I don't want to deal with another thing on top of me being tired and being hungry and all these other stuff. So it's lightweight, quick dry, odor resistant. It was awesome. And I just got that too. And it has great pockets. I like pockets so I can stack some snacks in there. So that was great. So the shirt I wore, not the best one. I would not recommend it. It's great for local hikes, but not for through hiking. I got this thing from Target and I need to buy a new one because it did not dry fast enough. It was on the heavy side. I did bring an REI Merino Wool Midweight Base Layer. It was awesome. These are usually pretty expensive, but I like the fact that they were on sale. And so I snagged them very, very quickly. And yeah, at this moment, I'm transitioning to buying some new tops to basically consolidate some gear. I use the Merino Wool for sleeping and it's awesome. I mean, it feels like it's a thin piece of cloth, but really it was warm throughout the night. That was great. Now, I also have a Heat Tech pants from Uniqlo, which basically it's just, I don't know what it is, but it's super thin. Like literally you could see through it, through your skin. But when I wore that inside, it's kind of like leggings, but I wouldn't wear it out because literally you could see everything through the pants, but it weighs nothing. So it was super warm. I wear that to sleep, especially in cold evenings. It's so much lighter than leggings. So I have that, always going to bring that with me now. Also, I have shorts. They're actually like underpants shorts. They're meant for like if you wear like, I don't know, something, you know, those leggings looking ones, they look like boxer shorts, but they're really more like underwear. So anyway, that's what I have those, and I don't know where they're from, but something like that. I actually, one thing that I'm going to be changing in the near future when I go backpacking is now I have this Adidas running shorts. They also weigh nothing, but they're super lightweight. They're like $20. And I'm going to bring those because those are just versatile, whether or not if you want to jump in the lakes or something, not having to bring extra stuff, that would be great. I also have a buff. It's actually a fake one. It's just this piece of cloth that locks like a buff. But it looks like a buff, but it's really not. It's just something that goes around my neck. It's a neck gaiter that I can pretty much use for anything. I have my The North Face hat that I've had for many, many years. And I also had a boonie hat that I got from Ross that I've had for many, many years. And it's just great because if you have this string around your neck, if it's windy, you know, like a regular trucker hat would kind of fly off of your head. But this one, it has something to latch onto under your neck. So under your neck. I said that like multiple times. Anyway, last thing, piece of clothing here, not clothing, but part of the gear is my REI Co-op multi-towel mini. This really is so small, but this is one of those things that I practically will have every single time. Might just get a bigger one for, like, say, if you want to jump on a lake, you know, getting something bigger would be great. Let's go to electronics. I have a Black Diamond Spot 325 headlamp, and this is a 325 lumens, which is great. It has a flood and spotlight. It weighs about 3 ounces. I might change this up to kind of lessen on the weight, but this was great. I brought an Anker 20,000 milliamp hertz charger, which practically lasted me all, I would say, 6 days. Had I not charged my watch, I think it would have lasted me 8 days, which was awesome. I charged my phone and my Garmin, and every day I charged my phone. So this is a great piece of equipment to have with you, electronic, when you're going out on a very long through hike. I have one, like a 10,000 one or 11,000. I can't remember exactly. It charges about like 4 or 5 that times. That works great for, you know, like 3 day trips, but for something like the High Sierra, something 20,000 milliamp hertz would be great. I obviously have my iPhone, which is something I use for videos and pictures and photos, still photos. And so it's just the iPhone X, you know, I've had this for many years, so it's not going to go anywhere until, you know, maybe it dies or something. That's just kind of like a principle of mine. I actually have my Apple Watch too. I have my Garmin inReach. That was amazing, as always. I'm into the Garmin inReach, and I had this little pen LED light for camp. It practically weighs nothing too, and it just helped to have an extra light in camp on top of my headlamp. So, I mean, you could get away with it, but this is one luxury item that I thought was super helpful. Other items that I brought is the Dr. Bronner's organic liquid soap, which I think was great. However, I think I'm going to be changing that up to more of a paper soap in the near future. I thought it would be lighter, and this pretty much exploded on me inside my pack because I think the elevation, I don't know, there was some sort of pressure in there that I'm like, there's no holes in this bottle and it's making all these mess inside a Ziploc bag. So that I might change that to a paper soap, which I actually have and I didn't bring it. It's one of the gear that I didn't bring. So that's that. I also brought some essential oils. I'm a big essential oil girl. So I have the doTERRA lavender oil. I have a Melaleuca oil that's pretty much good for anything, cuts or bruises or whatever. I literally put that when this guy had some guy on a different group. They have, he's from a different group, and we called him Blister Joe because he had a blister that was going on for at least 4 or 5 days. And I just had him, I let him use it. And the next day, for what we heard, was that he was fine the next time we saw him, and he was like hiking really fast. So that is something that I always use, is the Melaleuca oil. Good for anything. When my friend Nell fell and on her first backpacking trip, and I actually had it with me, and we just poured it on there and let it rest and let it dry out, it was fine. So that was awesome. So I always bring that. I also started bringing this Chinese essential oil called white flower. I actually learned this when I was growing up. We always kind of sniff it. It's like this oil, eucalyptus, peppermint, all that kind of stuff. It's great for high elevation places because it helps your lungs expand a little bit more and bring in more oxygen. So I had that in my pocket pretty much the entire time, and every time I feel like, oh, I'm getting dizzy, I'll just like put a little bit of oil, you know, around my nose, behind my ears and stuff like that. Yeah, that's that. And then I also brought some Advil. I brought vitamin C chewable tablets. I had magnesium, which helps with relaxing your muscles, which I am regularly taking now. Which reminds me, I didn't actually take it yesterday. Womp womp. So magnesium pills, they're huge and they don't smell good, but you know, they're good for you. So I took that. So with all of that, man, I know I'm going above and beyond my time here. Lessons with gear that I can share to everybody is that, number one, know your stuff. I think it's important to test them out, know exactly what you have, know how it works, know what to do, know how long it can last you, especially for, like, say, headlamps, you know, or your jet boil or fuel, how long, how many boils does it have? I did bring an extra fuel canister that I never used because I didn't know how many times I was going to boil water. Maybe because I didn't run out on the first one, which was already used. I didn't run out of the first one because I actually did not cook maybe two or three nights. And because of that, I had extra. So I brought an extra weight. It's fine. It's good to be prepared. So test them out. It's good to do that because sometimes you don't know it was defective until you were there. It's really not a good thing when something is broken and you're out there and you're gonna have to figure something out. Another thing is to be content with what you have. I think this is a big thing because I'm the type of person that always wants to have something better, lighter, whatever. It's a mentality that needs to be changed because at times you really are okay with what you have, but you're always just looking for something better. So being content with it and not have to second guess yourself, especially if you're about to go on a trip, don't second guess your gear because the moment you buy new gear just before a trip, all of a sudden you're going to start freaking out when you're out there because maybe you didn't know how it works. So knowing your stuff, testing them out and being content with it, and really just try not to do the comparison trap. Just because someone has a lightweight this or lightweight that doesn't mean that you should have that or that that's what you need to have. Being okay with what you have is fine. For example, my 46 liter bag may not be the lightest, but it's definitely something that is okay for me. And I don't know what that sound is outside. It might be a gardener. Anyway, I'm going to finish this really quickly here before they come around me. But keep learning, you know, with the stuff and gear that you have. And it's super, super important that you get to know what you have. And just enjoy what you have. Be okay with the things that you are content with the kitchen stuff that you have, with your sleeping bag, tent, anything. It doesn't mean that you need to have the latest and greatest for you to have the greatest time out there. You can have whatever you have and still have the greatest time. So that's something that we need to remember, that we don't always have to be buying new things just to have things better. And sure, there are better things out there, but it's okay to keep what you have. And this guy really is making a lot of noise. So anyway, I'm going to finish off now because it's getting very loud and I'm talking very loud now. And I will see you guys, talk to you on Instagram. If you have any questions about anything, feel free. I'll put all of these things in the show notes just so you can see and get the spellings of all these things that I probably mispronounced in the show notes. And until next time, I will see you all on the Stuff Bell Says podcast. Bye-bye.